You're listening to the John C. Scott Political Forum. This podcast is a Bustos Media production on The Voice. Be sure to subscribe wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Tell me we are only going back to Acheron to kill them, right? To eliminate the aliens, right, Burke?
That's right, Ripley. Our job is to eliminate the threat on planet LV-426.
Brace yourselves, we're gonna crash! This is just freaking great, man. This is just classic. We crash on an alien planet. We're all gonna die. Game over, man. Game over.
Hurry, grab all the stuff we can salvage. It's gonna be dark soon. The aliens mostly come out at night. Mostly.
Don't let your auto repairs be a disaster. Aliens in the engine, noises from the brakes, odd smells from the air conditioning. It's not game over. It's about maintenance at Perfection Auto Works. 323-8650. Brakes, belts, tires, complete auto and truck repair. 323-8650 and perfectionautoworks.com.
Andrea D'Alessandro is one of the hardest working state legislators in Arizona. We need to send Senator D'Alessandro and her strong voice back to the House of Representatives in Legislative District 2, which includes part of Pima and all of Santa Cruz County. Andrea D'Alessandro has won the respect of all who've worked with her to build a better Arizona. Andrea D'Alessandro has been a champion for progressive issues, the environment, and for educators who depend on Andrea to battle for more funding for teachers and more funding for all students in Arizona. Andrea works hard as a proven, experienced progressive leader, serving all the interests of Arizona. Independents, Democrats, vote for Andrea D'Alessandro for Legislative District 2, House of Representatives, in the August 4th Democratic primary. This message is paid for by D'Alessandro for Arizona 2020, authorized by Andrea D'Alessandro.
For 40 years, I've been a cop who has worked sex crimes, child abuse, homicide, and domestic violence. I'm not a politician. I'm Chris Nanos. A cop wants to be your sheriff, unlike the current sheriff, who is a politician. I wouldn't spend my time in Washington, D.C. or hiding behind my office door. As your sheriff, I'll work to fix our dangerously overcrowded jail, cut our 911 response time, and vigorously recruit new deputies.
We need Nanos for sheriff. Paid for by Nanos for sheriff.
The following is a paid program, and the host is solely responsible for its content. Opinions expressed are those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of KVOI or its sponsors.
Welcome to the John C. Scott Political Forum. John C. Scott is hosting one of the longest-running political talk shows in Arizona. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum on KVOI AM 1030, The Voice. And now, John C. Scott.
Thank you and good afternoon from the Perfection Auto Works Studios. This is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Today's show includes interviews with one of the longest-running elected officials in all of Arizona. We'll talk with Pima County Supervisor Sharon Bronson, first elected to the Pima County Board in 1996. We'll also talk with a political newcomer, the former conservative writer and columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, Joseph Morgan. He's a Republican running for the congressional primary election in City 2. Then we'll also talk with the former mayoral candidate, independent Ed Ackerley. He is one of the founders of the Tucson Business Owners Incorporated, a pro-business organization upset with City Hall. Now, here is Sharon Bronson, one of the longest-serving elected officials in all of Arizona. Welcome, Sharon, to our show. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you, John, for having me and hosting.
Boy, I'll tell you, we've never seen times like this. We never have. I was just looking at the numbers of the death toll and Tucson, over 300 dead. We've got 272 new deaths statewide, 2,082 deaths in all of Arizona. This is a terrible time for us. I'm wondering how this county, as you lead this Board of Supervisors, is going to deal with the economic fallout, let alone the death toll and the terrible tragedy of living in a time of pandemic. This is very serious business.
Yes, it's serious. And with all the information we're getting, it looks like this may be lasting till the end of the year. But having said that, we have a small business commission. We have a task force that is focused on how we do the economic recovery. And, of course, as always, we're going to rely on some Washington money. We need our governor to step up and help as well. So, you know, one day at a time is all I can say. Every day brings new information, and it is stressful, but we will get through it, and the way we will get through it is working together. It's not a zero-sum game. We all have to work together, put on your mask, shelter at home if you can, support our local restaurants with takeout, but let's do it together.
My understanding is that the revenues of Pima County may be down as much as 25 to 30%. That's a huge chunk of money. There is some perhaps federal money, maybe some state money, but it's not going to be enough to put you back to where you were. These are going to be times that we're going to live through, perhaps even into 2021, that will show us with much less revenue than we've had to run Pima County in the past, and in the present, for that matter.
No question about that. I guess if there's any silver lining in this, is that the county is reliant on property tax. We don't have a sales tax. The cities and towns with sales tax are going to suffer more than we have. But we have been conservative in the things we have done. We have a reasonable fund balance that we can, you know, over the next 18 months use to move this forward. But again, we need the governor, we need the federal government to step up and to bring some revenues and resources into Arizona. We're one of the hardest hit states, and the curve is definitely not flattening.
You have been a champion of the Sonoran Desert plan, obviously the conservation plan that has saved so much of sensitive lands in southern Arizona. Yeah, as far as the Sun Corridor role, you've played in economic development all through the Sun Corridor. You've been a champion of economic development. Why run another term? You've been there a long time, and you should be on a sailboat in the Bahamas or someplace. But why another 4 years?
I think at this point, I'm not sure anybody from Arizona is welcome anyplace else. And as you know, Europe has shut down. Now, instead of being in the Bahamas, I'd rather head north to Alaska.
There you go.
Or given our temperatures today.
Absolutely.
You know, it's time to chill. But why am I running again? I'm running largely because my focus is economic development. As you know, I'm on the Sun Corridor board. I'm also on the Visit Tucson board. Reality time, if we don't grow our economy, if we don't fix our economy, we're not going to protect our precious desert resources like the Sonoran Conservation Plan. We're not going to bring some social equity. It really, if we're going to get out of this pandemic with a sense of hope, it's going to focus on making sure our economy recovers. And I have to say, because our board, even with a Democratic majority, and especially with a Democratic majority, we have done the fiscally correct thing. We've put some money aside so that we had a good fund balance if there was a rainy day. Now, I wish it was raining now, but these are tough times. We have a fund balance, and I'm hopeful that in the next 18 months, we will be seeing the COVID piece go away, and we can get back to business as normal, although obviously it's going to be a new normal.
Obviously, too, you've been the Democratic majority because of your election all of these particular times since 1996.
There are two very solid Democratic supervisor districts, and they will fall more than likely into the Democratic column again this time. But this is somewhat of a swing district, but you've battled Republicans and independents and Democrats alike for all these years. But you've been the key to a Democratic majority in the board. It's been a 3-2 board for a long, long time, hasn't it?
It has, and, you know, again, swing vote, I don't care whether I'm the swing vote. I think you have to do the right thing, and you can't play zero-sum games. You need to bring everybody to the table. That's what I've been trying to do, and we are especially going to have to do this given the COVID pandemic. If we're not all in this together, we're not going to see the recovery. I don't know what else to say.
Richard Elias is gone. That's a terrible tragedy. You're going to miss him. We all are. Of course, Ali Miller is not running, so there'll be new faces on the board. How does that change the outlook for the next 4 years if you're elected?
You'll have to ask the new...
the new people, members. I guess, right.
But I think that, again, I think we've got some good people running on both sides. Looking forward to working with whoever replaces Supervisor Elias. Clearly, he and I had a great relationship, and I miss him terribly, but, you know, Resist Much Love was one of his favorite phrases. And I think at this point, again, the message is much love. We have to respect and understand others may be at risk. So everybody put that mask on, social distance, and if you can, just stay at home.
That's great advice. We'll talk again before the election, and I thank you so much for being on the show. You and I have talked about this. You were one of the first people that I interviewed when you were running the very first time back in 1996. We've had the show since 1989. For a very long time, 31 years, but you and I go back a ways here, so we've been around a while, haven't we?
We do. Yes, that was the first time I was interviewed, so
well, you did.
I hope I got through it okay.
You got through it okay, and then finally caught on to it, and now you've done thousands since that time, but I thank you so much, and you know, we both miss Emil Franzi so much. I wanted to mention that. You were so close to him, and so was I, and I think about him every time now, because he was such a political figure in Tucson, and now it's another political season, and I want to call him up and go, what do you think about that? What do you think about this? You know, and he would be more than glad to tell me what he thinks at any time, but he's gone, and I miss him, so I wanted to mention him, because I know you were a friend of Emil's as well.
I miss him, too. It's my first campaign without him, and... yes. As you know, when you call him up, you don't talk. You just listen.
That's true. I mean, that is so very true. Sharon, good luck on your campaign. We support you, and we ask others to do the same. We'll talk to you again here very soon, and congratulations on a tremendous history of political service to Southern Arizona. Thank you again for your work. Thank you.
Thank you so much, John. Bye.
You bet. Sharon Brunton, since 1996, a member of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. There's a newcomer we'll talk to in politics of Southern Arizona. Here's Joseph Morgan. He was on the radio here at KVOI. Had a remarkable conservative radio talk show. He was the Republican conservative columnist for the Arizona Daily Star. Now he's a candidate for Congress in Congressional District Number 2. He always says what he thinks, period. And what he thinks is next.
Pima County Health Department, under the direction of the Pima County Board of Supervisors, works every day to protect Pima County citizens. It is timely that one of Arizona's most respected physicians is stepping forward in the middle of this terrible pandemic to run for a seat of the Pima County Board of Supervisors. Dr. Matt Hines is a former member of the State House of Representatives. If we ever needed a medical expert on the Board of Supervisors, we need that doctor now. We need Dr. Matt Hines for supervisor. Vote for Matt Hines for supervisor. This message paid for by Hines for Supervisor.
As Tucson restarts its economic engine, let's tell the world we're open for business. I'm Dr. Ed Ackerley, and since 1968, Ackerley Advertising has helped companies manage their advertising, and we can help restaurants, retail stores, schools, churches, and nonprofit organizations tell your customers, donors, congregations, and the community that you're open for business. Call me at 850-7058 or find me at ackerleyadvertising.com. Tucson, it's pretty cool.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum at KVY The Voice. Now with us, Joseph Morgan, former columnist for the Arizona Daily Star and a former talk show host here at KVY, and now candidate for Congress in Congressional District Number 2, a Republican. Well, Joseph, thanks for being with us. I appreciate it. I want to kind of do something in two segments here. I want to talk about your role that you've played in supporting local police in the middle of a city council madness and craziness, if you don't mind. And perhaps that lays a foundation for your conservative thought and how you would govern if you were a member of Congress in 2021. So talk, if you will. You got a lot of heat for protesting in front of the mayor's house. How did you respond to that? What did you think of what were you thinking when you did that? And what about this battle to save our police department and to fund it properly? What's your take?
Well, thank you for having me on your show, John. It's always a pleasure to speak with you and speak with your audience. The thing with regards to the protest is this, and it bleeds right over into why I immediately ran to the support of the two gentlemen who wanted to paint the thin blue line in support of the police. I'm just a citizen. I keep telling everybody that. I believe we need to get back to true citizen representative government, where we're not electing people who see themselves as our betters or who think of themselves as our betters, either because, you know, they're very well connected to money themselves, wealthy, all these people who are connected politically, so on and so forth. We need to have people who understand that they are there to represent and be the voice of everybody, yes. But since everybody, generally speaking, tends to be average, there are far more average people than there are the super wealthy and everything else. You need to have people who recognize that, and that their policy decisions aren't just about supposed to be helping, you know, big corporate interests or whatnot, but they are supposed to be truly looking out for the community. So when I got the reason why the protest happened is I believe that as a result of what is going on in our country, there's too many of these people who see themselves in this exalted position, and we have a redress of grievances that is afforded us in the Constitution. Well, with regards to our mayor, she's hiding away in her house, and so when I got a text from a friend who said, I'm going to go protest at her house, people had already been saying we need to organize a protest because of a Facebook post I put up kind of in jest about I may or may not be at a protest. And so when she sent that, I shared it. I was down in Benson, and I came up from Benson. I had a few phone calls of some friends and family who were not happy with what I was doing. I said, well, I disagree with you. I think it's totally appropriate. I'm not going to be doing anything wrong. And when I got to Tucson and finally looked at my Facebook feed, it was on fire. I got a call from the police about 40 minutes before I go to the event, and I spoke with the police. I looked at the Arizona statutes. Of course, you know, the First Amendment is controlling, but they have Arizona statutes with regards to protesting and picketing in front of residential places. But there are exceptions if you are there and using it as your place of business. Well, in her case, she absolutely is doing that. But secondly, I had to have the intent to harass or alarm, and I wasn't. But I also knew I couldn't just leave people on the hook who might come, because a lot of people thought I organized this and everything else. So I said, I told the police officer, I said, I'm going to show up. I'm going to make sure everybody does everything within the bounds of the law. We're just going to peacefully protest. And we had a conversation. We got there. The media was there, and it was very peaceful. We did nothing even remotely violent or threatening or anything else. We peaceably assembled, which is our right for redress of grievances, specifically to our elected leaders who are supposed to be listening to that. But this woman doesn't listen. This woman castigates, she disparages, she libeled two members of our society, citizens of our city, and as a result, she libeled all of us. And so I was actually asleep on a couch. I'm very tired. I do lots of work. So I had actually fallen asleep, having gotten home the day that this happened. And I get a text from one of the gentlemen, Ross, saying, hey, We're getting ready to go to the police. They canceled our permit. And can you write a statement for me real quick? And I was like, sure. So I wiped the sleep from my eyes. I wrote a statement, and then I drove down there to support them. I didn't want to be on the camera. I told them I'm not interested in being on the camera. Just read the statement, brother. And then I met Tim Cecilini, and I've encouraged both of them, especially Tim. I said, you need to pursue legal action against this mayor, both personally. And he said he was going to, you know, go after the city. But I said, you know, I would recommend maybe not doing that because the taxpayers would be on the hook. But, you know, if you want to, that's your right. But you could definitely go after her personally because she put it on her personal Facebook feed. And she said he was a known white supremacist. Those were her words. And so she's shooting from the hip. She attacks citizens without any rhyme or reason. And for what? Then she calls it unacceptable to put a blue line in support of the police, while meanwhile they had permitted and allowed Black Lives Matter to be painted on the very same street. So that's another double standard that is clearly illegal and has shown favoritism to one group over another. And in this case, Black Lives Matter, whatever your opinion is of the organization, the group, the different factions, it's certainly not a unifying message. Well, you as an elected official have the duty to do everything you can to be the voice of your community. And law enforcement is there to protect us all. And whatever discussions we need to have about reform, that's fine. Let's have those and do it responsibly. But then to sit here and say it's unacceptable to paint a blue line, and they still have not given them a permit to go ahead with that. They're making all these reasons why we can't do it, and it makes them look even more like they are against law enforcement, along with the vociferous attacks upon them, and then, of course, the defunding argument that is screaming across this nation. This woman is an absolute embarrassment, and my only opposition to her, and it's why that the group on Facebook has grown to over 7,000. Recall Raheena Romero. We have all these people, thousands of people ready to jump on this as soon as we get a petition, which up till now they have refused to allow us to get. They're using COVID-19, hiding behind that, all these things just so we can get an application to file to go with the petition. We still have yet to be able to get that from the city hall. So this is absolutely wrong, and I'm not even leading that. I just simply am promoting it because it's wrong what this woman is doing. And it is clearly not what an elected official who's speaking for a community is supposed to do. And that's why I jumped in this. I'm
right,
a citizen,
very quickly.
And I'm outraged.
We got to take a news break at the bottom of the hour. We'll come back and talk about your bid for Congress in Congressional District 2. That's right after the news. Stay with me, please.
Everything all right, sir?
Okay, let me ask you, why doesn't my hamburger look like the one that's in the picture there?
Are you having a bad day, sir?
As soon as I got here. How can you take a 16th of an inch thick hamburger patty and still have it raw in the middle? Tell me!
Security!
I don't understand how anybody could like music like that. Why do you gotta play it so loud?
Turn it down! Stupid commies, you don't even know what you're doing. You're tearing down my America. I hate you!
Why would anybody want their car that loud? Okay, you know, I've about had it, man. I can't take it anymore.
Hey, man, you crazy?
Hey, take it to Perfection Auto Works. They'll fix it for you.
When you find yourself losing it and falling down over car repair, Perfection Auto Works is here to catch you, no matter what condition your car is in. Tires, brakes, and our free 26-point inspection guarantees you one less worry in a world gone mad. 323-8650 and PerfectionAutoWorks.com.
Pamela Powers Hanley is the progressive voice of the Arizona House of Representatives. Pamela Powers Hanley is a proud activist, a proud Democrat, and a proud Arizonan. Pamela has fought to preserve vote by mail in Arizona. She has battled to protect citizens from the deadly effects of COVID-19. And she has demanded sensible regulations that protect the health of all Arizonans. Pamela Powers Hanley asks for your vote in the August 4th primary election. This message paid for and approved by Powers for the People 2020.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Political Forum. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum from KVY and The Voice, and with me is Joe Morgan, Republican candidate for Congress in Congressional District Number 2. Just to conclude our thoughts about your protest in front of the mayor's house and your involvement in supporting local police, one thing that we have not said on the air, and wanted to mention that, Raheena Romero, our new mayor, decided to badmouth and go after Nikki Lee, the Ward 4 councilperson, because she had asked for a permit to allow the blue line to be drawn in front of the police department in support of the local police. The city manager said, yes, go ahead. And then the mayor called up and kind of, I'm trying to think of some terms I can use on the air, but I won't,
even try. But, you know, she has a tendency to want to dominate everybody at City Hall. That's going to be a long 4 years for us. I said that before she was elected, didn't support her, supported Farley. Mm-hmm. And we're all going to pay a terrible price for this. I mean, a terrible, terrible, terrible price for her being mayor of this town. And she bought it, should be an asterisk by her name, with the union money, outside money of over $1 million. It never had happened before. That's the only reason she's mayor. Anyway, let's go to your congressional campaign. Talk about why you're running for Congress in CD2 and how you hope to beat Ann Kirkpatrick if you win the primary election on the 4th of August.
I'm going to beat Ann Kirkpatrick the same way that I'm confident that we're going to win this primary. Again, the same reason I went into that protest, the same reason I jumped into action to help these two men slandered by our mayor to support our law enforcement. I'm just a citizen, and I am looking at things from a citizen standpoint. We need to have true representation again. And so when I go out on the streets and when people, I direct them to my website, josephmorganforcongress.com. That's Joseph Morgan, the number 4congress.com, to look at my ideas, whether it's my economic development plan for Congressional District 2 or my medical care plan. They're from that position. I've got real solutions that are looking out to helping get not just power away from government, but real solutions to help the average person that will really help them by getting more money to them, access to things that they need, and opportunity to, again, the common person. And that's done in from a conservative perspective. And so when I talk to people on the streets from just a perspective, and they see me as them, essentially, like you're me, essentially. Exactly. And that is playing with people. And I have a volunteer army that has catapulted me. We've reached 34,000 people at their doors, aside from all the people we've reached on social media. And then, of course, all the public events. I'm a tireless worker. I've gone to as many events as I possibly could because, yeah, since you don't have money to just spray your name out everywhere, you're going to have to do it the old-fashioned way. And it requires a lot more time and energy. And since I am single and I don't have a family back at home, I can spend a lot more time than maybe the average person could doing that. And I've been committed to that for nigh on 2 years now. I started running essentially at the end of February of last year. And so my name is out there. People see I'm real. They see I'm genuine. They see I actually care about the community. I'm willing to talk with anybody about anything, but I want solutions to help my community. And when I see it about protecting and defending and supporting things that are to the betterment of my community, I'm right there. I'm a voice for that. And I don't care what kind of heat I get from anybody. I don't care what anybody says about me, like you shouldn't do it this way, you shouldn't say it that way. That's the way politicians think. And that's why we're in this problem, I feel, where we have, you know, two, doesn't matter, Republican, Democrat, they don't ever tend to answer questions. They kind of dance around things and nothing ever gets done. And the common man is kind of left sitting there holding their hands. Well, I'm not one of those. Even though I am a conservative, I care about my community. And people see that. They hear it in my voice, my passion. And then they can see it actually in my actual policy substance to issues. So that's why I think we're going to be really well set against Ann Kirkpatrick, because money is going to get involved in this race as soon as the primary is over. Because I am somewhat of a wild card because I'm such an unknown, but we'll have the money that we need to take out Ann Kirkpatrick, and we're going to take her out.
You know, 2 years ago, we were talking about the border. That pretty much was one of the major issues that decided Kirkpatrick could go back to Congress. This year, obviously, the COVID-19 is really the tremendous story that we have to deal with because our lives are at stake. And it can attack any and all of us. Our health is really at stake here in the middle of this pandemic. But I want you to address that as a potential congressman on how you would deal with it. Talk about the Trump effect in these races that, like yours in Congressional District 2, where a Democrat is now challenged by more than likely you in the Republican general election coming up in November. So let's talk about COVID-19 and how you would deal with it. I only have about 3 minutes here, but let's talk about the Trump effect and what role Trump might play in all of this.
Well, again, the number one problem that I have with what is going on from our government, and this includes a lot of stuff coming from the way Donald Trump says things, but it's mostly the bureaucracy of the CDC before the WHO early on in this, constantly changing their own narrative And, of course, that narrative gets shouted and amplified in the media. The fatality rate of COVID-19, it was devastating. It was a disease. It's a very real disease. It's not a fake virus. But if you go and you – and, again, I look at the CDC raw data numbers and everything else. I'm constantly staying up to date on this. But there has been such indecision. There's been such indecisiveness, a waffling – saying one thing about masks early on by Fauci, the CDC, the WHO, the Surgeon General, then shifting what seems to be a more of a political narrative as opposed to actual health narratives. It's really hard to know what to believe when it comes to our leadership on this. And so, yes, I would agree that President Trump and some of the things that he has said and how he says things has not helped that. There's no confidence, it seems, coming from any leaders anywhere on what should be done. And that hurts. And that's specifically hurting our economic recovery. It hurt the economic and the shutdown. I mean, I'll just give you a quick example here. We shut down the economy, right? Well, if we had actually felt this was as bad as everybody was saying, we should have shut it all down. The best approach they should have done was give a 2 to 3 week notice. Everybody go get food for 2 to 3 weeks. Hold yourself over, set up a thing. And then we shut the whole country down, including politicians, including everything. We shut it down for 2 to 3 weeks. And then boom, everything should have been taken care of at that point, but they didn't. They've been arbitrary from the shutdowns from day one. It's just been nonsensical. None of it makes any sense, to say nothing, again, of constitutional issues. And that's a real problem. When you have such indecisiveness from our leaders, our governor in Arizona, it's not going to help anything. And that's a real problem. And you need to have leaders that are going to actually stick to the facts, know what they're talking about, and come out and be decisive. And there's no decisiveness from our leadership, and that's real bad. And there's been nothing but silence from Ann Kirkpatrick, unless you go to her social media page, which is essentially just fear-mongering 24/7. And there isn't much facts that you'll get from her or whoever's running her page.
All right, let me ask you to
change.
Let me ask you to tell people how they can support Joseph Morgan for Congress in Congressional District 2. Tell us, please.
Go to josephmorganforcongress.com. That's Joseph Morgan, the number 4, congress.com. Check me out. Sign up for my newsletter. You can reach out to me at 520-307-5586. And, yeah, there's walkbooks still to walk in neighborhoods and make phone calls. We're in the final push here in the next couple of weeks. We've got about 3 weeks left here of this election cycle for the primary, and then it's on to the general, whatever happens. So, yeah.
Joseph Morgan, thanks for being on the show. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again soon. Thanks again. Appreciate
it. Hey, thank you. Bye-bye.
Joseph Morgan, a former KVOI talk show host, former Republican conservative columnist for the Arizona Daily Star, now candidate for Congress in Congressional District Number 2. Coming up next, he was one of the founders of the Tucson Business Organization that promotes business interest in Tucson, Arizona, and a former candidate for mayor. He's Ed Ackerley. And he's my guest next. From Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum. Back in a moment. Ethan Orr has served in the Arizona House of Representatives. He was called the most effective House member in decades. Serving in the majority party, Ethan reached across the aisle, bringing both sides together to benefit Southern Arizona. His critical vote on the Medicaid expansion has saved thousands of Arizona lives and has resulted in millions of dollars flowing into the Arizona healthcare system. Ethan Orr is now the University of Arizona's College of Agriculture and Life Science Vice President. Now Ethan Orr returns to public service as a candidate for the Pima College Board of Governors. He's one of the most qualified candidates to ever seek this important position. Ethan Orr asks for your vote in the coming election. Ethan Orr is an educator. He believes that quality higher education opens the door for all high school graduates in Arizona. Ethan Orr is the right choice for Pima College Board. This message paid for by Ethan Orr for Pima College Board. For the past 20 years, Beth Ford has served Pima County residents as their county treasurer. 4 times Beth has been asking for support of Pima County voters, and each time voters have responded with a resounding yes. Once again, Beth Ford asks for your vote for Pima County treasurer. Beth is a proud graduate of the University of Arizona. She is a certified public accountant. Beth has served 4 terms as president of the Arizona Association of County Treasurers. The Pima County Treasurer is a tax collector for 96 political subdivisions in Pima County, and over $3 billion flow through her office annually. Beth Ford is committed to providing the most professional and efficient service for all of Pima County. Beth Ford asks for your vote in the 2020 primary and general election. Experience matters. Vote for Beth Ford for Pima County Treasurer. This message is approved and paid for by Beth Ford for Treasurer 2020.
Tucson attorney Jeff Rogers is one of the most respected lawyers in Arizona. Jeff is the attorney other lawyers refer when they can't handle the case. The lawyer you choose can make all the difference. When your freedom, finances, or livelihood is at stake, choose the law firm recommended by other law firms. The Jeff Rogers Law Firm is rated preeminent by Martindale Hubbell, the highest award to recognize excellence in American law practice. Call the Jeff Rogers Law Firm at 624-4700. Law offices at 177 North Church Avenue.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the John C. Scott Show. From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this is the John C. Scott Political Forum on this 7-11 date. With us now is the former mayoral candidate, Ed Ackerley, and one of the founders of the Tucson Business Owners Organization, which is an educational and advocacy group for business in Tucson, Arizona. Ed, welcome to the show. I'm glad you could join us. Thank you.
Thank you for the invitation, John.
You know, City Hall is what you talked about all the way through that campaign last fall, and we're still talking about it today. This is a god-awful mess. We've had a couple of people dead. We didn't know anything about it until months after it happened. And then, of course, in the ensuing video that we watched, we were appalled by some police action. And then, of course, there was an attempt on some people in the town to say, well, let's just defund the police. We don't want any blue line in front of their offices to honor them as Black Lives Matter was honored by a huge banner in City Hall. This is just becoming a mess. You got the mayor attacking the Ward 4 council person, and you got the Ward 1 person acting like she's unhinged. This is not going to end well. It's just not. And we need some leadership at City Hall because we're headed for an economic cliff that we could all go over. So you tell me what we need to do.
Well, I think the situation with the police department, it's unfortunate, obviously, that we had the deaths that were reported. And, you know, the chief of police did write the op-ed this week and explained what was happening inside the department and be honest with you, I think he explained it very well. And it's unfortunate that the information wasn't made more available quicker. But, you know, there has to be some investigations that go on. And so the mayor and the council do need to know right away what's happened. But, you know, the reaction of that, the reaction of the slow notification and the reaction of what's happening in the country is kind of coloring the way people are looking at the situation in Tucson. And the matter of fact is that we are facing staffing levels in the city of Tucson that are well below what we had in 1988. We had almost 1,400 police officers, and now we're down to about 880 commissioned officers. And yeah, granted, we can all of us need to do more with less employees, and we need to be more efficient. But what that simply means is the population has grown in that period of time, and we don't have the force in place to resolve the issues that need to be taken care of. And that's just to be kind of at the bare minimum. We should be at least at 1,000 officers. And so that was the message I gave in the campaign. It's the message I still give is that, yes, training is important. Yes, response is important. Yes, management is important. All those things are important. But if we don't have the staff available to perform the service that is required by the city charter, it makes it difficult for everyone.
You know, this was almost a situation in which the mayor, of course, attacking people personally without any real foundation, calling them white supremacist and whatever, attacking the Ward 4 council person, pitting the mayor against other people who just apparently don't agree with her on some issues, doesn't strike me as being constructive in a time when we need some real leadership. And you talked about leadership during your whole campaign. This, like I said, this is not going to end well. We're headed for a financial crisis. I have about 4 minutes. Address what you believe and what I believe to be a financial crisis just around the corner.
Well, the whole pandemic situation has been terrible for everybody, and the city government is obviously suffering from lack of sales tax and other issues. Fortunately, the CARES Act gave $93 million to the city coffers for specific things that they can do to help mitigate the pandemic. But what that does is that does free up some funds. But what is going to happen in 2021 in this next budget, there's going to be a deficit. In 2022, there's going to be a huge deficit. If the economy doesn't turn around, then the city manager is going to have to recommend a budget that is slashed in a variety of ways. What is maybe a silver lining in all of this is it does give next couple of months, it does let us see what services that the city provides that maybe are extraneous and could be cut or trimmed, and what resources are being provided by the city now that maybe we need to focus on the blocking and tackling, as I call it, the fundamentals of public safety, roads, transportation, parks, and economic stimulus.
Well, how do you do that when you have 40% less revenue than you had before? I don't know how you do that. How do you do that?
Well, you cut where you can. You cut unnecessary programs. You stimulate the economy as quickly as we can. Who knows how long the pandemic will last, and if we go back into a full-scale shutdown again, that's going to be devastating to the economy, and it already is devastating. But some of these businesses that are trying to hold on by their fingernails are really having a tough time of it. So we have to be supportive as citizens and as government of those businesses, because City of Tucson runs primarily on sales tax, and so that's the engine that runs the city government. There's a variety of other sources of income, but the largest single thing is city sales tax. And if that is down because of people not purchasing as much because of the situation, it's a double whammy. It's the pandemic and the closure, but then it's also the lack of funds. So I do think there's going to be a need to be a serious discussion about the services that the city has traditionally provided and that has grown over the years. And do we need to get back to some focus on the fundamentals that the city charter has spells out specifically what the city council and the mayor should be responsible for? And again, that's public safety, roads, and parks, plus a few other things. And that's where we got to be focused.
2 minutes to talk about the Tucson Business Owners organization that you founded. What do you offer? What do you say about your organization and how it can help us through these difficulties?
You know, all groups, whether they be citizens groups or whatever they would be, need some representation. And it during the campaign, it became obvious that there were small businesses, one person shops all the way up to 50 or 100 or 300 people, who just felt that there wasn't a voice for them in a variety of locations, the city council, at the board of supervisors, even at the state level. And so we formed this to help advocate, educate, and to help businesses market themselves to the city of Tucson and to the surrounding areas. And it does, it says it's Tucson Business Owners, but it does involve Oro Valley, Marana, Sarita, Vail, et cetera, the unincorporated areas. The idea behind it is to come together and have a unified voice to help the community understand that if we are serious about economic development, and if that is what is the engine that develops the sales tax, which then funds the public safety and the economic forces that we have to fund our government, then we just have to do a very good job at making the small businesses viable in this community.
All right. How do people find out more about Tucson Business Owners? 30 seconds.
TucsonBusiness.org is the website, or contact me at 850-7058.
I'm so glad you're still involved. I was at one of the founding gatherings of the Tucson Business Owners Association over at River and Campbell at the Union, and it was a great group of people who really have everything in their lives at stake in this economy when their livelihood is so tied to their business. And we have to pay attention to that. They fund everything else in our town. Ed, thanks for staying involved. Talk to you again soon. Appreciate you being on the show.
Thank you.
You bet.
All right. Bye-bye.
From the Perfection Auto Works Studios, this has been the John C. Scott Political Forum. Thanks, Sharon Bronson. Thanks, Joseph Morgan. Thanks, Ed Ackley. Thank you for listening. Have a great weekend, everyone. Stay safe. Stay home. KVOI, The Voice.
Tear down George Washington.
Countrymen, if you tear me down, you tear down the nation which protects your right to speak out. Draw your swords or hang your heads in shame. Now leave this place while there's some honor left.
Let's get out of here.
Huh?
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, what, coppa?
Maybe if you invested your money in your car instead of tearing down the country, it would run right. Take it to Perfection Auto Works.
This is Mike Emery at Perfection Auto Works. We specialize in all cars, foreign and domestic, since 1994. 323-8650 at perfectionautoworks.com. 323-8650.
His conservative columns written for the Arizona Daily Star became a must-read for every Southern Arizonan interested in or active in politics. His radio talk show became a leading voice for conservative thought in Southern Arizona. He is Joseph Morgan, and he's running for Congress in Congressional District 2. Joseph Morgan gives the Republican Party the best chance in the last 4 years to regain the District 2 seat. Joseph Morgan is a tireless worker. He's walked to thousands of homes in Southern Arizona. Joseph Morgan is the right person to help us through these very tough times. Joseph Morgan will help lead us through the economic crisis that has resulted from COVID-19. Joseph Morgan believes that every person has the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that government exists for no other purpose. Vote for Joseph Morgan in the Republican primary August 4th. This message paid for and approved by Joseph Morgan for Congress 2020.